kind of reception you gave us. They tell you how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Awesome. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to get our speaker to come up and we'll just have a bit of an interview first.
Cool.
So first off, what's your name? Full name?
My name is Harry Lam, without the B at the end, just L-A-M.
Cool. It's good to know.
Yeah, some people get that wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a few few questions, and we're going to see, just get an idea about who you are.
Sure.
So what are you doing here at Tuesday Public Talks?
I'm here because I am actually a staff worker working for Credo. Yes, there are some paid staff here as well. I'm not a student. I might look like it, but I'm probably at least 10 years older than some of you guys. I know, that's kind of weird.
Cool,
but
thanks
yeah.
for sharing. So I'm going to ask you about looking at three themes. We're going to look at work, rest, and play. What do you do for work?
This is my work.
Awesome.
and I enjoy it. Yeah.
Cool. How about when you rest, when you're not working?
I don't know. In recent times, well, I had a kid recently, 2 months ago. So rest is kind of hard to come by at the moment. But I don't know, I do enjoy a little bit of sport, I play basketball and things. But I don't know, play games as well, listen to music.
Like board games?
Yeah, board games. I used to play a lot of this might sound a bit sad, but single player games.
No, it's so
cool. Okay, good. Sweet.
So much, it's really cool.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so we'd ask you to adult this, but what do you play? Like, is it a...
Right, play?
Just play. What do you do for fun?
Yeah.
You can add something that, yeah, it's weird. Play.
You're not an adult, James.
Sort of. 21.
Well, right now, I don't know. I really enjoy playing with our little kid. He's very, very cute. And,
cool.
I don't know, just trying to make him laugh is pretty fun. But otherwise, you know, like I said, sport, which I'm pretty unfit at the moment, so I haven't been doing a lot of that. But yeah, like I said, games and stuff.
Cool. All right, so not so serious questions. If your personality was a chocolate, what would it look like?
Okay, maybe one of the more nutty ones, just because, I don't know, sometimes it's just a bit weird, nutty.
Cool, that's a good
one.
Good answer. If you were in Hogwarts, what house would you be in?
Just because my name is Harry, probably Gryffindor.
And what would you do at Hogwarts? Would you, join the dueling club, or...
The what?
The dueling club, would you, duel, or would you do potions, or... Quidditch.
I don't know, Persian sounds a bit boring. Yeah, Quidditch sounds pretty fun, I reckon.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Alright, and last question. What happened to Red Rooster? I've never seen a Red Rooster in ages.
Wait,
what
really?
Happened?
No, there's still one sort of around the west. I think there's one at actually Ashfield.
Okay.
It's a genuine to Parramatta Road on the way to
It's a genuine question, what happened to Red Rooster?
It's
haven't
still
seen
around.
It in ages.
It's
so
around.
Alright, that's cool. Alright. I'm gonna leave it up to you to chat about the ballroom that we have.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. This does go higher, right?
It does. Yeah.
Sweet. This is on? Yeah. Sweet. Okay. I'm just going to start off first by praying. If you are unfamiliar with prayer, prayer is just a way that Christians communicate with God, basically. And so if you feel comfortable, you could just open your eyes and just listen if you want to. But otherwise, please bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for this time that we can gather and listen to your words being spoken, and we do pray that you will just give us hearts that are open to you and willing to listen to you today. Please transform us with these words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The thing that I looked forward to the most as a student was always the end of the semester. Back in the good old days when trimesters were unheard of, there was always a nice long break to look forward to at the end of the year and after exams were finished. But also, the thing that I dreaded the most as a student was also the end of the semester when the exams were around. Now, the thing about being a law student at UTS, yes, I was once a law student about 5 years ago. Being a law student at UTS means that you pretty much, every exam that you have is an open book exam. Some of you guys might be a bit jealous about that. But I can count on one finger the amount of closed book exams that I have. But open book exams don't necessarily mean easier exams. In fact, quite the opposite. What you really need as a law student is to be able to prepare good notes from the very beginning of semester, so that by the end you have good and succinct notes that will prepare you for any kind of question that comes up in the exams. And so, as the good little uni student I was, I went to almost every lecture and prepared my notes week by week. And back then, I didn't even have a laptop, so I wrote it down. So the normal thing to do as a uni student is to learn all you can during semester, and then hopefully by the end of semester, you'll be able to put that stuff down on the exam paper. Now, I rocked up to my exams with my half-written notes and my textbooks in hand, these really fat law textbooks. And I found myself going into these exams with quite lacking in knowledge and still actually learning new things in those exams from those textbooks. I was a pretty lost little uni student and stumbled through my whole uni course and just somehow managed to get through at the end. Now, my future did not look like a bright one. What do you think your future looks like? Now, everyone here, I think, has some kind of future goal or a dream that we hope for or something that we are working towards. That's why we're here at uni, right? So, as explained a bit earlier, this semester at Public Talks at Credo, we'll be focusing on the book of 1 Thessalonians, which speaks about not just about short-lived aspirations, but aspirations and a certain hope that is achieved only through the good news of Jesus Christ. The book is really a letter that is written by, as explained earlier, a guy called Paul, and he's encouraging the believers in a city called Thessalonica. These Thessalonian believers had what looks like a really real and robust faith, something that is often hard to come by. And they had to stand up against really intense persecution and many trials in life. And so, in the midst of all of these things, these pressures surrounding them, Paul was worried that they would not stand strong and that their faith might die one day. And so, he writes the letter to encourage them because he's really concerned. And you can just feel in this letter just how emotional he is about all these things. And so, the message for them really is, let your faith be strong and stand firm until the end because a bright future is ahead. And so today we start the series at the beginning with this question: what does real faith look like? And we're just about to see an excellent example of what real faith looks like. So I'll be following the passage quite closely. If you want to look in your zines, and I'll put up some slides with the passage up there as well. But yeah, there's an outline as well. So I'll be following this all the way through to the end. So firstly, genuine faith is visible. In other words, it's not invisible, it's not hidden, it's not secret. The Thessalonian Christians are very well known for their faith because their faith can actually be seen through their actions and their lives. And this is exactly what why Paul is so thankful for them. So if you have a look at verses 2-3, it says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is saying that he is constantly praying for these guys and constantly thanking God for them. What is he so thankful for, though? Well, he mentions three things in verse 3: their work produced by faith, their labor prompted by love, and their endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their faith, love, and hope are considered genuine because they are visible in how they behave. And so here's what we learn from this. The first thing we learn is that faith is deeply connected with how we work or how we behave. So our deeds kind of show the kind of faith that we have. These Christians obviously have a faith that is not useless, but it's actually productive. It's not a lazy faith, but one that works. Now, at this point, I think I have to clarify something. Christians do believe that there is nothing at all that can be done, that we can do to save ourselves. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved. But that does not mean that faith is unproductive. In fact, the Thessalonian Christians show that real faith is actually visible through your actions. Now, real faith is meant to lead us to work, to serve others, and to be helpful. Similarly, Paul is also thankful that they engage in a kind of labor that is prompted by love. So even the word labor, when you hear that word, it's kind of stronger than the word work. If their faith has led them to work, even more so their love has prompted them to labor. And love is an even stronger motivator than faith. Love compels us to do things that we normally can't do. And your parents, probably had enough strength to raise you because they loved you. Now, how else could they have put up with you all these years? I'm only just beginning to understand how hard parenting is. And I definitely can say that it's not easy waking up in the early hours of the morning to change heavy poo-filled nappies. And it does help that he's actually very cute as well. This is my kid. Ain't he cute? He's pretty cute, isn't he? This is just an excuse to show off my baby. But come to the Easter time convention and you'll be able to meet him. That would be awesome. But anyway, seriously, I love my kid. And that's why I can change his nappies 10 times a day and in the early hours of the morning. Even if he launches poo at me while I'm doing it. Love is a strong motivator. And if the Thessalonian Christians had no love for God or for their fellow Christians, they would not have been able to engage in this kind of labor. Their love was what motivated them to work hard. Thirdly, Paul is thankful because they have an endurance that is inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is really the thing that kind of keeps us ticking. It's what keeps us going in life. If faith and love are strong motivators for people to work hard, then hope is actually what helps them to keep doing that and to endure all the way through for the rest of their lives. Now, like I said before, the Thessalonian Christians were going through some pretty tough times, being persecuted by the people around them. Now, there's no way that they could have endured those things if they didn't have this hope. But in order to put up with such hardships, they must have had a really, really strong hope. And here, Paul tells us that this was a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that kept them enduring. They were able to keep going because they knew exactly what was coming. That is the hope that after we die, we will be raised to life again because of Jesus Christ. This is a hope that conquers even death. And if it conquers death, then there isn't really anything else that we need to fear. No kind of persecution or trials were able to beat them down because they knew exactly where they were going and they stand firm in that faith until the very end. So this is a faith that is visible through their work, through their labor, and through their endurance as well. Okay, so another question that we have here as well is, where does this faith actually come from? Verses 4-5 in your zines tell us, "For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." This makes it clear that the source of this faith is from none other than God himself. It is God who chose them first, it is God who loved them first, and it is God who gave them his Holy Spirit so that they could accept the words of salvation and believe it from the bottom of their hearts. The good news came to them not only with words, but with power, the power to transform their lives. And that's why they were actually able to work and to labor and to endure in these trials. None of this transformation could have happened without the power of God's Holy Spirit, because without him, the words of the gospel kind of just remain as words, don't they? Just words without meaning, without relevance, without power, and without conviction. I could study the Bible every single day of my life and without it actually affecting my heart. Like if I were to read a law textbook, that doesn't affect my heart. It's just words. And I know that there are Bible scholars out there who studied the Bible all their lives and still actually don't believe what it says. But deep conviction and change really only happens as a work of God. And that is meant to teach us that we are completely reliant on God for our salvation. That's exactly what Paul thanks God for. That's why he thanks God for the Thessalonian Christians. He doesn't actually thank them for being so faithful and so awesome, but he thanks God because it's actually God who transformed their lives. And let that be a reminder to all of us that the only one we can actually turn to for our salvation is God himself. And we therefore only have God to thank for our salvation. But at the same time, whilst it is God's work to transform people, he does use people to transmit the message of the gospel to others. And when this faith is lived out, it is meant to be loud and it's meant to be noticeable by other people. So have a look at verses 5, second half, 5b to verse 8. "You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. So the Thessalonian believers saw the greatest example of faith through the way that Paul and his companions lived. It wasn't just their message, it was actually their actions that spoke really loudly. And when they saw the way that they lived and they heard their message, those things kind of came together. And they also started to imitate them. But it didn't stop there. Paul says that the Thessalonian believers then themselves became models to other believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And then it rang out from them to everywhere. And I think the picture that we're meant to get here is kind of like a person shouting from a mountaintop and the echoes being carried far, far away. Their words and their lives are loud enough that people everywhere are hearing about it. And they're attracted to it as well. Just like faith is meant to be visible and seen by everyone, it's also meant to be audible and heard by everyone through our words and also through our actions. It's interesting also that Paul says at the end of verse 8, therefore we do not need to say anything about it. And maybe sometimes you think to yourself, I don't think I'm very gifted at telling other people about my faith, what I believe in. So maybe I'll just leave it to the people who are gifted, or I'll leave it to my church minister or the staff workers here at Credo or my small group leaders maybe. Some might even say, I'm way too introverted and too shy to speak well, so I'll just leave it to the extroverted types. But here, notice that the Thessalonian believers are all living out their faith so loudly that people everywhere are hearing about it. It's not just Paul and his companions doing the work. It's not just the leaders. They passed it on, and they actually expected the Thessalonians to do the same. And that's exactly what they did. And that's exactly why people everywhere heard about their faith. The Thessalonians have become famous, but what are people actually saying about them? So people are actually saying about the Thessalonians that they are different, that they're living lives that are transformed. So have a look at verses 9 to 10. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. The Thessalonian believers were so inspired by the gospel message, so captivated by God, that they turned away from their previous lives to live new lives for God. Paul makes a deliberate contrast here between idols and the living and the true God. The point he is trying to make here is that idols, or things that we worship other than God, are dead and they're fake and they're worthless. Idols are only counterfeits and are nothing compared to the living and true God. Now, I get annoyed when I go to Japanese restaurants and find out that the food there is cooked by Korean or Chinese people. I mean, I have nothing against Chinese or Korean people. I mean, I myself am Chinese. But it just doesn't feel authentic when you eat it, like when you eat that kind of food. In the same way, idols are counterfeit. They are not anything compared to the true and living God. So when they encountered the true God, that they could, from that point on, they could not go back to the fake gods that they were worshipping before. In the same way, you wouldn't want to abandon something, you wouldn't want to abandon something real for something fake, would you? Now, I would go for Japanese food made by Japanese people any day, over Japanese food that is made by others. And I wouldn't turn my back on the God that I know is true in order to follow fake gods that are lifeless and can do nothing. Their lives beforehand were spent chasing after counterfeit gods, living for things that were temporary and fading away. And then they discovered the real deal, the living and the true God. Their faith is genuine because they follow a genuine, real God. Now, I wonder if that is actually the same for us. I wonder if actually we realize how amazing and supernatural it is for someone to turn from their idols to serve the living and true God. The Christians in Thessalonica were surrounded, absolutely surrounded by idols. One of the most prominent was the Roman imperial cult that made people worship the emperor, who was considered actually to be the son of God. Thessalonica was also filled with temples that were dedicated to different idols, including one to a god called Dionysius, who was the god of wine. And he was worshipped kind of with rowdy and promiscuous drinking parties. This is the kind of environment that the Thessalonians were just surrounded by. That's what they grew up in. That's what they're used to. To abandon those idols and to serve God was actually no small thing, because it would have meant ostracism from their families, from their friends. It would have meant going against the whole cultural norms of everyone else around them. It would have meant opening themselves up to persecution from everyone around them, which is exactly what they experienced. So the fact that they turned from idols to serve the living and true God is actually a really amazing thing. Now, why would they open themselves up to such pain if they weren't sure, if they weren't convinced by God being the living and true God? Now, I think the same is true for us. And the environment that we've grown up in is actually not really that different. People might not give their gods names like Dionysius or the Roman Emperor, but they still do follow idols for sure, pursuing dream jobs and partying hard like there's no tomorrow, drinking themselves blind and having sex with whoever they can get a hold of. People around us make fun of us and of Jesus, and they use his name like a curse. But they adore and even worship celebrities like Adele. Today, Jesus doesn't create traffic congestion and crowded station platforms like Adele can. But people also flock to Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift, but they avoid Jesus like the plague. And when we are surrounded by this kind of culture, it's also tempting for us to join in, isn't it? Some of you may already know that serving the living and true God does ostracize us and open us up to ridicule. People make fun of Christians for their views on marriage, their views on drinking, and in general, their obedience to God. We already see that in the media, as Christians are mocked and despised for being bigoted or overly conservative. Abandoning our idols today is no easy feat either, just like it wasn't for the Thessalonians back then. Oh, no. You see, what the Thessalonians have done by abandoning their idols is abandon the hopes and dreams that they once had and turned their hearts instead to the living and true God. For them, all other dreams pale in comparison to this new hope that they have. And they are now waiting for something far better, and that is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead and who delivers us from the wrath to come. This new dream that they have is the hope of the resurrection, the hope that there is actually something far better coming after this life. What we are looking forward to is not just some fleeting dream, nor do we have the fear that we will be punished, because everyone who puts their hope in the Lord Jesus will have eternal life with him. And that's something worth abandoning everything for. Chasing after your idols can be no better than chasing after any kind of fleeting dream that will vanish. And yes, just as the Thessalonians faced trials and persecution because of their faith, abandoning your idols will also come with trials and persecution of all sorts. But would you be willing to open yourself up to those things for the sake of following what is real? Would you be willing to face ridicule when your friends and your family members are bagging you out, or bagging other Christians out, or bagging out Christian values in general? And if the day comes when Christians are actually even physically persecuted here in Australia, would you be able to endure while looking forward to an eternity that is far greater than what is in this life? The Thessalonian Christians knew that abandoning their idols would be hard, but they also knew that it would be infinitely more worthwhile in the end to follow the living and true God. So what Paul teaches us here by way of summary is that genuine faith is visible and not hidden. It's a work of God, not the work of humans. It is loud, it is not silent, and it transforms our lives both present and future. But how does that actually affect us today? Well, I guess one question is, why did you come to uni? What kind of dreams did you come here to pursue? Most likely you came to study in order to find a job so that you can eventually make money and make sure that your life is secure and steady. Maybe that's what your parents intended for you when they set you on the path for education. And they did it probably because they love you, actually. It's not at all a bad thing. In fact, it's actually the responsible thing to do. But I wonder if we sometimes focus so much on these things that we lose sight of the bigger picture of why we are here. It's so easy to be bogged down by all sorts of different things that need to be done, especially when you're being told by us, actually, at Credo, to join small groups and to go to public talks and this camp, that conference, or read the Bible with someone. And on top of that, the trimesters are probably leaving a lot of us with a lot less time to study and do other things, isn't it? Well, all these pressures, with all of these pressures, it's very hard for us to know how we are to use our time. One thing that I find interesting, though, about the Thessalonian Christians is that their lives are proof of their transformation. They are spreading the good news of Jesus through their work, through their love, and through their perseverance. They aren't spending all of their time preaching the gospel with their lips, but it is evident through their very lives that God is there and that He is living and He is true. They were so captivated by this good news that their whole lives became a testimony to God's great work. And that's why people everywhere were hearing about them. Now, I'm not at all telling you to go out and become the next great preacher or the next great missionary, but I am encouraging you to live out the daily grind, the hardships, the stresses, the boring, dull, and mundane moments of life to the best of your ability, so that whoever sees your life can see a life that is different from everyone else. And then maybe people can actually see that you are living for a different dream. The life that has turned away from idols to serve the living and true God should be evident in how we study, how we work, how we spend time with our family and friends, and everything that we do. Don't ever underestimate the value of hard work and labor in the daily Christian life. The Thessalonians themselves were very famous for it. But how else can one live visibly and audibly as Christians here at UTS? Now, one thing I love about this passage is that our mission and goal at Credo is perfectly in line with it. If you don't already know, Credo's mission is to become such communities of God's people within UTS that everyone is confronted with the magnificent truth of Jesus Christ. You may also know that our goal is to grow to 800 people in small groups by 2020, and 50% of whom are also reading the Bible with a classmate. Now, whether or not we get to those figures doesn't really matter in the end. The numbers are not the important thing. But the second part of the goal is a challenge for us to live visible and loud lives here on campus. So why not challenge yourself, maybe, to read the Bible with a friend? Even if you're not actually a Christian, feel free to grab maybe one of the guys here and say, "Will you read the Bible with me?" That's not at all a weird thing. It may very well be the most worthwhile thing that you do here at uni. Jesus has called us to live lives of loud and visible faith. And that means that both our actions and our words must follow. If we are truly captivated by the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, then that can't leave us silent and motionless. So how would you like to live your time here at uni? And how will you live the rest of your lives in light of this passage today? Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the good news of Jesus Christ, in whom we have this amazing hope beyond the grave. Please help us to live lives of genuine faith that are visible and loud, lives that proclaim the good news. Help us to be so captivated by your good news that people everywhere may see it and hear about it and come to know about you, and that they too may turn from their idols to serve the living and true God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm Jake, I'm a fourth year civil engineer, and I'm going to pray. So if you want to bow your heads with me, I'll pray. Our Lord, we thank you that you are powerful, powerful to create this beautiful world we live in. Thank you that we can talk to you in prayer. Thank you that we can have a relationship with you. And we thank you that you give us relationships with others. I pray that as over the past few weeks with Embark and O Week, that Credo can continue to build the friendships with the people that they've met. Those friendships will be able to grow so that, yeah, they'll join a small group or that they could read the Bible together. Yeah, and I just pray that people will have a positive experience from Credo. We pray for all the first years as they get into uni life, that they'll be able to settle in nicely. They'll be able to not feel overwhelmed or feel out of place, but be able to just feel at home. And I pray that Credo will be a part of that. They'll be able to find a home at Credo. And we just pray that as we live, those who have decided to follow Jesus, as we follow Jesus, that we'll be able to be generous, we'll be able to be loving, and we'll be able to put down the idols that we have in this world and just follow Jesus. And yeah, we just thank you that you are in control and that you'll help us and give us the strength to get through. Amen.
Thanks, Jake. All right, we're just going to do a few more announcements. So for small groups, that's starting up next week. There should be a website up there, so www.credo.org.au/join. That'll bring you to a table and you can select when you're free to go to a small group. I think small group's a really good idea. It's a good way to experience a raw picture of Jesus without the bias of what your mates think or media or just public opinion. It's a really good idea just to read the Bible and experience Jesus for yourself. Harry's going to come up and talk about Prime. We'll hear more about that. Thank you.
Sure. Sorry, me again. So Prime, actually, who's heard of Prime before? Good, quite a lot of you. Very good. For those of you who don't know what Prime is an amazing training opportunity, I think, for people here at UTS. I think it's basically there's four different sessions each week. It's on Wednesday afternoons from 3 till 4, and then 5 till 6, and Thursday morning 9 till 10, and then 11 till 12 as well. Yes, good. And there are four different training modules that everyone can kind of join. And I have found it personally really amazing. It's only kind of been going for the last year, but ever since then, kind of a lot of people have joined, and it's just amazing. There's one called Engaging with Islam, for example. And I initially didn't really know very much about Islam, and I thought, oh, this could be interesting to join. And it's amazing. It kind of helps with cross-cultural training and stuff like that as well. But it does tell you a lot about our Muslim friends as well. And there are plenty of Muslim people in Sydney as well and here at university. But otherwise, there's one-to-ones, which I spoke about earlier, which I think everyone should do. And that module is basically training people to know how to read the Bible with someone else. And then there's... what else was there? There's also... abiding in Christ, which is basically maturing as a Christian, that kind of idea. So those are the and there's a few more, but you can explore that as well. So you can join online. It's $15, and so maybe have a look at your timetable. I think it's definitely worth investing in if you have the time. $15 is not that much to pay for a whole semester of training.
Thank you very much. If you're like me and you really struggle with memory and you don't remember any dates, it's all resources at the back there's a table over there.
Oh, and it starts next week, sorry.
Starts next week. Yeah. Crucial, get on it. Another thing that's coming up in your diaries that you can book is ETC, which is Credo's annual camp. It's at Stanwell Tops, which by the way is the best conference center ever. It is so good. One thing I like about it is just the rooms are pretty good. There's heaps of coffee, instant teas and stuff like that, really crucial. And yeah, just a good vibe. It's near a beach. It might be pretty cold during April, but if you're a beach person, go for it. The dates are on the 13th of April, so write them in your diaries if you forget. Resources up the back. 13th to the 17th of April. It's a great way to meet new mates, maintain old ones. It's a good time away for Easter. The theme for it is we're going to look at how it's a really tricky word called sanctification. Pretty much means, hope so I get this right, it's looking at how once you become a Christian, once you experience Jesus and find out who Jesus is, that sort of starts to change who you are, to mature more as a Christian. Is that right, Rob?
Yes.
Awesome. Next thing, in your zines, you should get like a little talkback form. So if you have it put up in the air, talkback form, awesome. Yep. It'd be really awesome if you could fill those out. It might be like, I don't know, I think I filled out maybe 20 of them, and I started towards the end of the day, so like, what was the point of filling them out? But I got a text from, I don't know who it was from, but it was because of the talkback form that I wrote, and it was just a really awesome, encouraging message. And I felt really good about that as I received it, because that was just, I felt part of the credit community because of the talkback forms I filled out. So that ends the formal part of Tuesday talk. So there'll be someone coming around, I think, collecting the... Oh, anyone got a pen to fill it out? Put your hand up if you need a pen.
I think there are some at the back as well.
Some at the back. Start filling them out. Any questions you've got down, write them. Yeah. And then also, while you